Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Office Oddcast. I am Kristen. Joining me is Chris. And we're going to be talking today about why we love the office, what got us into it, what got us to where we are today with it. We are presented by Yeet Trivia. Yeet Trivia runs trivia games every single week online. You can win awesome prizes, so definitely go check that out. All right, Chris, so tell me what got you into the office.
When did the office start? Was it 2006?
2005.
Five, okay. Because I'm trying to think of when we started watching it. Did you ever watch it live?
No.
No. I definitely did not, unless it was the last, either season 8 or 9. I don't think we watched it live, but it's possible because we had Netflix and Hulu, and nobody agrees with me, but I swear that we did watch it on Hulu live, like the night after. But I could be wrong, so I don't know. Anyway, so I got into the office in about 2012 after watching a trailer for it on the DVD of the show Heroes, which is referenced a couple of times in the office. I remember whenever we were watching it and the DVD started, it had the little trailers ahead of time, and they did, of course, most of season one. And the part where Michael does like the D-Generation X second thing, he goes, "In your face!" That stuck with me forever. I had heard of The Office before then, but I knew nothing about it, didn't know who was in it. I originally thought, like I'm sure many people thought, that it was an offshoot of Office Space, which I had seen, but I'd never seen anything about The Office. So anyway, we're watching the trailer for it on a DVD for the show Heroes, and I laugh at the trailer. It's just stupid, it's funny, it's everything that I would like, and it's a mockumentary type of series, and it has no laugh track. And so for me, just the silly trailer, no laugh track, documentary, all of that caught my attention because I had grown up watching Friends, Boy Meets World, Seinfeld, and they're all great shows, but they all have a laugh track, which just annoyed me. So I was willing to watch this. My wife, on the other hand, is very cookie cutter on a lot of things, and it did not appeal to her at all. So it was kind of tough getting her into it at first, but more on that later. So we're shopping around Best Buy, as we do just about every weekend, finding DVD and Blu-ray deals. And I found The Office Season 1 in a bin for $5, or it might have even been $1. It was either $1 or $5, and it was super cheap. And so as we're walking around, I was like, I'm getting this. And it's only one DVD long. I think it's only what, 7 episodes. Yeah, I should remember this on my own. But it's only a few episodes long. So I'm going to watch this on my own free time. And so she's like, I guess we'll get it. Well, we get it, and she would go like to the store, and I would watch an episode, or she'd do a workout video in the living room while I'm in the bedroom, and I'll watch an episode. And so me watching it and her seeing it, it never happened. The office and she never crossed paths. How about that? And so I watched the entire season all by myself. And then when I started watching it again, she would come back into the room for whatever reason, and she still wasn't very interested until Diversity Day, whenever Pam is laying on Jim's shoulder. And she goes, oh, there's a love interest? There's a story about love here? And I was like, yeah, it's Jim and Pam. They kind of like each other, but they don't know it yet, sort of thing. And so she's like, okay, start over. Of course, I oblige because I'm enjoying the show. This is only season one, and I've watched season one 2 or 3 times at this point. And so she started from the pilot, and then once we got to Hot Girl, we finished it. She's like, okay, we have to get season two. So we go, and we're hard disk type people, or hard copy kind of people. We love DVDs. We love Blu-rays. We're not big on the digital stuff. So we actually went pawn shopping and found all the seasons. And at that time, I don't think they had finished either season 8 or season 9. So we did watch whichever one of those seasons or both live-ish. We would watch them the day after or the week after they were released. So anyway, that's what got started on the Office path. And of course, like many people, I'm on Facebook. And I was in a Facebook group for musicians. several of those musicians love the show and made a lot of references to it, and I would make references to it in the comments. We all had a happy time. One day, a guy said, "You do realize that there is a group for The Office fans?" And I'm like, duh, I never even thought of that. So he invites me to the group. And it's a fun group. It was a huge group. It was The Office Superfans, was the first group that I was ever in. And I was just a member there. But not long after I was in that, there was a moderator for that group that broke off and started The Office Scrantonicity 2. And they asked for me to be a moderator there, while they were the admin of that. While I was a moderator, Scrantonicity 2, I was asked to be a member and then eventually an admin for another group that is now defunct. And from that group, several of us admins broke off and started The Office Revisited. So if you're on Facebook, you're looking for a group, The Office Revisited. After that, at some point, I stumbled into a group called The Office Addicts, and I soon became an admin for that one as well. So I am currently an admin for The Office Revisited and The Office Addicts. The Office Addicts is one of, if not the largest, Office fan groups on Facebook. So it's a pretty neat thing. It's really neat to see the difference between the two groups, because one is much smaller, one is much larger. So you have different sets of people, some who have never seen the show, they're watching it for the first time, some who have seen it a million times, some who are casual watchers, some who are obsessed with it. So it's neat being a part of both of those groups. And I also run an Instagram called the_OfficeInstaFans. Now, while being in The Office Addicts, Kristen had asked for a promo for the trivia, and we got to talking and we were like, hey, let's branch out and do some things. So I was helping her out on both groups and on Instagram, and we just decided, hey, let's give this podcasting a try. So here we are.
So how I got into The Office was, I am a street performer, so I work nights and weekends, and every other part of my job I do from home. All of the marketing, all of the contracts, I work from home 8 hours a day and then perform on nights and weekends for 4 or 5 hours. So I always have some show that I'm addicted to playing in the background. I started with Parks and Rec. So I had on Parks and Rec for about a year and a half of just repeating it every day. And then I was looking up some behind the scenes stuff, and I saw that Michael Schur had created another show, which was The Office, and it was the same style. So I figured I'd try it out, and I got completely hooked. Unfortunately, watching it while I'm working, I have two screens at my desk. So I have The Office on one screen while I'm working on the big one. And so I remember every line that is said. I know everything that I can hear, but half the time, if it is just shown on the screen, I totally missed it. When I did real life office trivia, I went to someone else's trivia event at the Hard Rock Casino here in Tampa. And the one question that I absolutely had no idea, they asked about when the office characters were playing trivia, the Einsteins had put up, like, what was their answer to, you know, Ray Charles had this state on its mind, on his mind. And what they wrote on their board was Seattle, right? And that was the one question I missed, because I was never actually looking at The Office. I'm only listening to The Office. Also, and for anyone who has visited our trivia and knows this, or anyone who knows me, I'm a super high anxiety individual. I wake up in the morning and I am pinging all day long. And watching the same show over and over and knowing what's going to happen makes me feel better, because I know what's going to happen. So I kept going with it just because it was easy to have on in the background. And now all of a sudden I'm repeating phrases in everyday life, which kind of doesn't work all the time, because sometimes I'll quote Michael Scott and everybody just looks at me like I'm Michael Scott, because they don't get it. Also, I feel like as I was watching it, I can relate to every single character on some level. You know, I think that's one of the great parts about the show, is that sometimes we are all a little bit Todd Packery, right? as a mom, obviously I can relate to Pam. As you know, sometimes I'm grumpy Stanley and I just want to be left alone to play my games. So I feel like that's one of the things that really got me stuck on The Office, was that every single character has a piece of me in them, and you know, I have a piece of all of them. So I can relate to everybody on some, you know, I saw that face you made. No, I don't have a piece of all of them in me, or whatever that joke was. How about this? Who is your all-time favorite character?
So my all-time favorite character is the cliche Jim. I relate to him. I love him for all of his faults, all of his vices and his virtues. But the, I guess the underdog, my favorite character and the most, the one that I relate to most is Pete. And he's only in season 9. I absolutely adore Pete. I like how he is very sensible. He doesn't have very many funny moments, but he's a great human being. And I like how he treated Kevin during the pyramid of the card tower. I like how he treated Erin. Whenever Andy was gone, he respected her. And I love his obsession with movies, how he just can quote Die Hard from beginning to end. I like the way he sort of, he probably could have done a little better, but the way he protected Erin whenever Clark was being really creepy. So to me, I think Pete really should have been through more seasons than just season 9, but he was my favorite thing about that season. And aside from the cliche answer of Jim, I love Pete.
It's an odd character choice for your favorite character. That's a weird.
Yes, it is.
I can agree, though. I mean, obviously, the way he acted with Kevin in the card tower is entirely endearing. But I also, I don't know. I feel like maybe he's kind of a pussy. Like the whole Erin thing, like, maybe this was just me, but watching that go down with him and Erin when Andy was gone, like, I'm sitting there going, damn it, Pete, just put it in her, man. And I mean, I can get the whole chivalry thing. I mean, that's cool, I guess. But I would have liked to see Pete, you know, grow a pair.
So what's funny is the general consensus of why people hate Jim so much is that he flirted with and kissed an engaged woman twice. So you've got two opposite ends of the spectrum. Jim went for it and people hated him for it. Yep. And then Pete waited and now you don't like him for it.
BFD, engaged and married. All right. So that's all I have to say about that. Listen, Jim and Pam haters, come fight me. Okay. I don't know. I kind of love them all. Like, they're all things that I wish that, you know, they had all done a little differently, but then the show wouldn't be what it is. Like, I do love all of the characters a little bit, but I still think Pete is an odd choice. It's a weird.
I'm an odd person, and this is an odd cast, so we're good there. Hey, shameless plug. Now, one of my favorite lines, and it has nothing to do with the line, the person, the scene, anything. It has everything to do with me, and my wife's name is Holly. So one of the most used lines from me is obviously Kevin whenever he thinks that Holly is into him. Everybody knows it. I am totally going to bang Holly. Yeah, that was funny the first few times that I told that to her. It's still funny to me the 102nd time.
That's hilarious. That's awesome. You found your Holly, though. Aww.
I found my Holly, and she is much better than the character portrayed by Amy Ryan.
I love Amy Ryan so much. I love her so much. I loved her in The Wire. And, you know, that's the only reason I started watching The Wire with my husband, is because I saw her in it, and I was like, oh, it's Holly.
I was going to say, there are several movies that I have watched simply because they have a character from the show, or an actor from the show. I watched Away We Go and Nobody Walks, and they both have John Krasinski. And if you want to see John Krasinski in a very non-Jim role, those two movies are it.
I haven't been able to follow any of his movies because I feel like I don't want to see him in a non-Jim role. Like, I don't want to see Benedict Cumberbatch as anything but Sherlock.
Like, I'm not interested in him being other things. And I feel the same way about Jim. Like, no, I want Jim and Pam to be Jim and Pam and fuck everything they do afterwards. And thus, Kristen ensured that those two actors will never be on this podcast. Thank
you. I also watched two movies that Jenna Fisher was in. One of them is A Little Help, and the other is The Giant Mechanical Man. And again, if you want to see her in a very non-Pam role, those are great movies to check out. A Little Help is where her husband died during coitus of a heart attack. And her son and she and her son have to cope with it. And her son starts telling people that the husband died from something different. I don't want to spoil it, but that's one thing that really kind of like solidifies the movie. So I can't tell you that part of the plot. Anyway, it's really good. And then The Giant Mechanical Man, it's kind of like an independent romantic, almost comedy. Like there's some funny parts, but it's just, you have to watch it. It's a good movie. So those are my four picks. You got two from John, two from Jenna.
You know, I guess that's relatable. Like I could see someone having a heart attack while having sex with Jenna Fisher. I would maybe die of that too. What a way to go.
Okay. What was the episode that solidified your love for the show, especially since you did most of it via audio instead of video?
I feel bad because it's so far down the line, but Dinner Party is my favorite thing in the world. I'm also a huge lover of Scott's Tots. Whenever we're in the groups and I see someone comment that they skip Scott's Tots, we can't be friends. Like, why are you even calling yourself a fan? Because the point of The Office, or one of the points of The Office, is absolute cringe. So the cringier it is, the better it's doing its job. So Dinner Party for me is the ultimate Office episode. The addition, I think, in that episode of the Hunter song, you know, that for me is what does it. Because again, I'm listening to it. So ironically, the things that are sung, all of Michael's parodies, I know, you know, stuff like that. So the things that are a song in the show are the things I love the most, and they get stuck in my head the most often. I swear I've had social interactions that are so close to that party, it's not even funny. And maybe you can relate to this since you're married. Like, there are those times, especially once you've been together long enough, that you will get into an argument that absolutely should not be had in front of people, and yet there you are having it. Like, it's as cringy as it is, it's super relatable to me.
So my relatable one for Dinner Party is not so much that I don't think that we've ever had a public argument or fight that would make others cringe. Maybe so. I mean, we've been together for 15 years, something like that. But one time when we were fairly newly married, a coworker of mine invited us to her son's birthday party. I honestly don't know why we went. I had never seen the son, but it's almost like Oscar's thing of like, you know, when you go to a kid's birthday party, you're just kind of there for them. But she was quite inebriated once we got there, again, at her son's party. And she was quite handsy and verbally flirtatious with me while my wife is beside me. And her husband was there. And he would kind of keep giving the side eye. So I felt a little Jim-ish whenever Jan was like trying to reach for his hand to pull him up and dance with her. And it was just so, so awkward. That's probably the biggest takeaway that I got from Dinner Party, you know, relating to me. Now, the episode that got me into The Office, obviously the pilot, but the non-obvious answer would be Diversity Day. It was so cringe. It was so funny. It was everybody in the office just feeling like, what is the word? Secondary embarrassment, or embarrassment by proxy, if you want to stick your pinky out and say it. But with Diversity Day, you could just feel the tension in the room. You've got a new guy who knows Michael, but he doesn't have everyday interactions with him. And he is just, he doesn't know what to do. And then you've got the ones who've been with him every single day, and they're like, yeah, that's our boss, the guy that you put in charge of us. So I love that. And see, I had never seen the UK version at that point. It took several watch-throughs of the US version to watch the UK version. And I am a big fan of British humor. I had grown up watching Monty Python Flying Circus, Are You Being Served, Keeping Up Appearances, Mr. Bean, which is a little less cringe, but still that British humor. And so, of course, the first few episodes of The Office are very close to how the UK version goes. And Ricky Gervais as David Brent just is unbearably, obnoxiously bad. And that's the point of it. So they soften Michael up later on, but you can really feel the British cringe in the first couple of episodes. So those would be mine.
Steve Carell really didn't watch The British Office because he was trying very hard to not act it as David Brent. So I kind of appreciate that they stayed with it just far enough. Like they stuck to the original version just enough where it's recognizable, but not so much that, I don't know, I feel like if Steve Carell had played it a little more David Brent-y, I wouldn't like it so much.
Of course, people think that Bob Odenkirk could have been Michael Scott. I completely disagree with that. Even the Bob Odenkirk that we got to see in season 9 was not nearly good enough to be Michael Scott. And then, of course, his other roles he does great at, but he is not a good Michael Scott.
How many times have you seen the show?
Okay, I have watched the show a total of 10 times, and I'm sort of on my 11th time through. But I did have to stop just because life happened, and I'm also cheating on the show with How I Met Your Mother, which is, I'm almost through with it, and I'm going to restart it. People who are obsessed with the show laugh at me. People who are general watchers like are aghast at like how many times I've watched it. Now, for the ones who have watched it, say, 40 or 50 times, I tell them this, and if they still laugh at me, that's fine. But I tell them that I watch it from beginning to end. Every single episode gets my 100% full attention. And then I go back and I watch deleted scenes. I watch the bloopers. I listen to it with commentary. So I can't get through the first season in just one day like many people can. It's just 6 episodes or whatever. But I have to go back and listen to it with commentary. I want to see the deleted scenes. So when I say I've seen it 10 times through, I have seen every single feature of each DVD and season on, or I've watched every last one of them 10 times through. So if people can say that and still say that they watch it 40 times, kudos to them for not having a life. We're leaving that in there.
That would be me. I'm definitely more than 10 times through, but I have specifically stayed off the deleted scenes for 2 reasons. I watch bloopers on YouTube, but since I write the trivia questions for Ye Trivia, I am afraid that if I watch the deleted scenes too much, it will meld into the show in my brain and I'll end up asking a question about a deleted scene when I don't intend to. And also, I just bought my DVD set like 2 months ago, maybe, because they're taking it off of Netflix. So I'm assuming that after it's off of Netflix, then I will start watching more of that. But, you know, I still have to be careful with my trivia questions. So I have not yet seen all the deleted scenes. I think I've only watched them off of season 1.
I've seen this question in the groups that I'm in, The Office Revisited and The Office Added, shameless plug. If you could go back and watch it for the very first time, would you? Or do you like the fact that you have seen it many times?
That's a hard question. Just because of Ye Trivia, I'm going to say I'm happy that I have seen it this many times and I would stick with that. Plus, I've made a lot of really cool friends on the internet. I like the groups. I like being able to talk with people about it. I like the fact that when I meet someone new who is into The Office, I can be like, oh, let's talk. So I do enjoy that. I would have to say that I'll stick with knowing it as well as I do and being as emotionally invested in this show as I am. What about you?
I feel the same way. I've met so many people that have seen the show and who have not seen the show, and I get to say, oh, you're going to love it. And I get to watch it alongside it, or I get to live their first experience by proxy. So I still get that first time through feeling whenever somebody new watches it. And I love knowing what's coming up. I am, I know a lot of people aren't like this, but I am one who watches a movie over and over. Like, I'll watch V for Vendetta every 5th of November. I'm going to watch Tombstone at least 3 times a year. I'm going to watch The Crow, my favorite movie, a couple of times a year. I love rewatching things. So it was very fun the first time through. I love that experience. I can remember the experience. It's always in my heart. I don't know which way the camera's facing. It's on my left side. And I'll never forget a lot of the ways I felt through the first time through. But I'm perfectly content with still having seen it 10 times. What is one scene that you rewound and watched over and over whenever you first saw it?
Ooh, really stupid answer for this one. It's a little bit embarrassing. Okay. When Todd Packer brings everybody the cupcakes and then Kevin and Andy are in the office together after hours and they're like trying on each other's clothes. It's so embarrassing that that's my answer though. That's the one I rewatched. What about you?
My answer, and I feel like maybe this would be a typical one. I hope that everybody else has done this, but when Michael hits Meredith with the car. Again, this is the first time that we have watched this. Everything's going fine. He's eating cereal. Jan's in bed. He's driving. He feels very blessed. And then, boom, there's a woman on the hood of his car, and she rolls off, and then he looks at the camera. We watched that. I don't know, maybe 10 times the first time we saw it. We laughed hysterically. We had red faces, tears coming out of our eyes. We loved that scene.
I will admit, I have tried to pause it on the exact moment that she's like on the windshield. And it's actually her. You can pause it. I don't know how, I don't know if she just jumped on the car or what, but you can see her face pretty clearly.
Yeah, I guess it's either her or a very good stunt double.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's her, because like I said, I'm freeze-framed. It's her.
You say that Dinner Party was one of your favorite episodes. Everybody talks about the George Foreman grill on their nightstand. Did you notice another object that many people think might be a certain type of object on there?
So, okay, the Foreman grill and the, what was the camera?
Okay, so on the nightstand, there is a purplish cylinder that is just behind the George Foreman grill. Many people think that maybe that has something to do with the camera.
Okay.
You watch it, you be the judge.
Right now. Like, listen, fuck a podcast. I'm looking this up right now because I did not know that. What? Hold on. I'm going to look it up.
5 hours later.
Have you made your decision yet?
That's a dildo. I mean, okay.
Yep.
Good one. Okay. So I'm going to definitely post that picture onto some of the podcast social media because that is for sure a, that's a grown-up toy right there is what that is. That's an adult toy.
On a weapon of choice.
On the table behind the Foreman grill.
I can't remember if I saw it first or if somebody had mentioned it, but now you can't unsee it.
Did you see, I want to say it was in Revisited.
Because The Office Revisited, Shameless Plug.
Office Revisited. I think maybe Deej posted it. It was the genus and subspecies of the alligators.
Now there is no subspecies.
He's like, I could name you every subspecies. We're going to have to do a thing on stuff like that. Like, I love finding things that I have not. And that's the other thing I love about this show. Years later, after hours of studying this show, there are still things that I find out and laugh my ass off. So it's the gift that keeps on giving.
be sure to check out Yeet Trivia, Y-E-E-T Trivia, hosted by Kristen, where they do weekly trivia for the office virtually, so you don't have to get out and you don't have to social distance. You get first, second, and third prizes, and for those who didn't get first, second, or third place, there's a raffle, so you can still win something. You can find them on Facebook.